Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and under the authority of Laborers for Christ and our Dr. Shanette Apostle, Dr. Shanette Houghton, who has supported and followed our program and participated from time to time. And we are just very grateful for leadership that doesn't mind getting under the yoke with you. So I thank you all for last week being patient with me and being a part of my process. Sometimes, you know, you got to do what other people want you to do. But I did hear that it went well, and I had no doubt that it would. So I thank God for you guys. And I got this marvelous sun in my eyes, and so I can't see my computer screen. But we'll figure this out. I'll put my sunglasses off. All right. So thank God for your presence. And we actually read the chapter 38 in the book of Job, a very powerful reading, a very powerful dissertation, if you will, of the God of the universe, sharing with Job who he was. Okay, phone is acting. Everything want to act up today, but that's okay. So I would like to hear some feedback from last week and from that particular chapter, and particularly if you don't have the book, but if you do have the book, what are some of the powerful statements that you read or heard to be read? You all are live. If you take your phones off mute, we will hear you. Okay, y'all will be quiet today. For one of the things for me in that chapter, in chapter 40 actually, is God correcting and rebuking and then instructing Job. And what he says was that Job contested God's character, and God was calling a halt to this. And when a man challenges God, he is putting God down and also lifting himself up above, indicating that he has a knowledge or a right or an understanding that God does not have. And as God had in the 38th chapter said, you know, who is this, you know, who is this that's giving dark counsel with a whole lot of words, but without knowledge of what they're talking about? So that's why it says, you know, to speak slowly. In other words, be slow to speak, you know, because there are so many things that we're not privy to. There's so many different elements in any situation that we just are not going to know about. And so as a result, when we speak with just our own knowledge, we are to say what he believes, what he says, lean not to your own understanding. Because you don't have enough. No matter how long you do it, you're always learning. And what happened yesterday in that season may not be the process for today and today's season. And so when we are understanding the fluidness of our relationship with God, then we understand the power of the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold function, because we cannot function without those seven elements alive and prioritized in our life. And it was concerning me because, you know, up until, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, and we had did a wonder with it, I didn't know what those seven flow functions. You know, I had read it. I didn't memorize it. but then when we were studying the book, you know, it became very apparent that the ministry, and we say it all the time, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the power of our holy living. It is the power that transforms our thinking. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the sevenfold function. And so you weren't here with us, or if you really don't remember, refresh your memory and go and look it up and look at each one of those elements of the Holy Spirit that he brings into your process according, or our process, according to the will and the purpose of God. He always knows what God's purpose is for us, and he is going to do whatever needs to be done to guide us through and in that process. And so he's going to give us tools of the power. More than tools, it's a power. It's a force that's in the spirit realm that overrules and overrides our physical going forth. So that one scripture that's very, very, you know, familiar to everybody, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. That's part of seeking, and we can't unless we embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because we will try to acknowledge God our way, and that is not what scripture is telling us, and that is not going to enhance our process, but rather it's going to stagnate our process because we're functioning on things that we knew yesterday. Now, it's not that you forget everything you know. No, you give all that to God. That's that when he fills you up, you pour it out to someone else. You pour it out because he's got to fill you up. There's a time for every season. And so there is a time when there's a tearing down and a time when there's building up. And, you know, so there is a time where that was yesterday is for then. But what is today is for today, actually, and tomorrow. And so, excuse me, this knowledge that he's saying in words, and much words without knowledge, but not the knowledge is one thing, but he said you give counsel. I never, you know, really saw that as one of the functions of God. You know, we go to him and find out what he wants us to do. But to get counsel is something different. To get counsel is to present a thing that's real to you to someone who will help you become successful in that thing and are willing to give you information that is trustworthy, faithful, and true, for one thing, because it's their counsel. The scripture in Psalms, you know, don't be in the, don't take counsel from the wicked, and what happens when you do. And so we want to realize and even ask for. A lot of times we say, you know, you're not going to pray about it, and I'm going to take it before the Lord. Think of it as counsel. I need the counsel of God. We're in a project or whatever, you know, for the church, or we're in preparation for some event or other. We need the counsel of God. And it's not so much a right or wrong. It's a path to success. It is a, because he said, you know, he's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. That's how we get it, is through his counsel, in his counsel. And so seeking that counsel, okay, and listening for it with a heart that has been emptied out of our own I don't know, our own human knowledge or understanding, you know, or wisdom. And so it's all these things that we know, you know, the scripture says, if you lack wisdom, to just ask for it. So all of these things are things that are readily available to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be a part, we want to understand that the part that the Holy Spirit plays in our life is priority one. So when we go to someone, as Job's friend went to him, you know, then they go seeking and waiting on the counsel of God in order to give him counsel. But they gave him the counsel that they understood, and that wasn't what was appropriate for that time and for that particular situation. So when we, that was the one thing, one of the things that really stuck out to me, and how God ties all that we do together so that we have the whole picture and not just a part of the picture. And then you kind of go into a lab work, and you get to apply this stuff. You get to apply it to circumstances or to a day, just taking it all and functioning in that day on these new mysteries that God reveals to us. It says, it is God who allows what happened to Job, and any complaint or bitterness is actually towards God and not anybody else. You know, the scripture, Psalm says, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And so even though he was doing what he did, but he sinned against other people, but the sin is against God. And so we want to understand how quickly and easily words that come out of our mouths are offensive to God. And they do bring the wrath of God. Now, his wrath is expressed quite differently from our wrath, but nonetheless, it truly does come. It says, if you are greater than God, then you have to deliver yourself. That's what they asked. They told Christ, you know, when he was on the cross, you're a physician, heal yourself. You know, save yourself. You're the savior of the world. But the point in that was their wrong thinking, but actually they were right. They couldn't save themselves. He could. And no man could. And so the statement they made had a place of truth, but it just was to the wrong person, and that's what made it not true. And so we have to understand that that God, in his excellence and in his majesty, he wears glory and beauty. And because of that, he is the one to be obeyed, to be worshipped, to bow down to. Job was sitting in full of boils and sitting on ashes on the ground, and he's telling the God of the universe, you know, this isn't fair, that what he is doing is not fair. And God wanted him to see, you know, can you, you know, do you have an arm like I have an arm? You know, can your voice thunder like this? You know, if you can, then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. God was not trying to mock Job. He just wanted Job to see how pathetic it was to try to correct his maker. Now, in the 40th chapter, God tells Job, you know, pour forth the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Bow their face in the grave. If you can do this, Job, then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. And so God was trying to paint a picture for Job to ponder and pray about and understand that what he had done was not, was a sin, actually, was just a, was a sin. that God did reign, and that all that God does, he does with mercy to us because he longs for us. So, and he loves us. And he says those that he loves, he chastens. So at this point in the 42nd chapter, we see Job repenting. Job replies to the Lord, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought or purpose of yours can be restrained or thwarted. Job then confessed his error. I have uttered things that I did not understand, things too wonderfully and too high for me. And so it's such a loving, gentle way that God addressed his wrath with Job. Such a gentle and long-suffering way, the ways of God. And all he requires is that we just confess our sins. Okay? Acknowledge him in what we're doing. And understand, you know, anything short of that is the enemy being the accuser of man. Now, Job could have felt so bad that, you know, he beat himself up or so often when we know we've fallen and the Lord has rebuked us and, you know, we have such a shame, and that's not why God does what he does. And when we respond like that, we're responding actually in a way that's going to be offensive to God, because part of his character, we should understand, is to forgive, is to love, and so is to save us from even ourselves and delivered us from our sins. So if when we have been found out or exposed or revealed our error, the thing that we must do is to repent. I don't want to say just repent, but it is to repent. And to repent in such a way that we allow the Holy Spirit to show the level of love that God has for us, because he endured our foolishness. He endured our foolishness. And yet, even with that, he said, nothing will separate my love for you. He still loves. He yet loves, not still, but yet loves. He doesn't give us the wonderful blessings, the goodness of his and then take it back. You know, he doesn't give and take. He doesn't respond in our relationship with him like we respond in relationship with people here. And he wants us to change that kind of behavior, to know that we're to have the heart of God. We're to have a heart that's forgiving and that's accepting, that's non-judgmental, that's pure, and a heart that loves, a heart that seeks to glorify God. And so that's a heart that does what the way God would do it. And he gives us his word and these different situations and circumstances so that we can get a glimpse of even the depth of what he does. And so it would be one thing to know, okay, Job had trouble, then his friends came, and blah, blah. But what he had happened, Job did have trouble. His friends did come. But then God came. God didn't just show up in a bush, a burning bush. He came in a whirlwind and had dialogue with Job. He wanted earnestly for Job to understand the place he was in was not a good place. That he was being deceived by presumptuous sin, and he wasn't aware of it. And he had to stir him up so that the junk that falls down at the bottom gets stirred up and comes up to the top, and then you know that it's there, and then you can do something. Then it becomes your choice to do something. And so he did. When he saw it, he repented. You know, all of the scriptures you could think of had to be a part of Job's process at that time. You know, Lord, you know, search me. And if you find something, you know, in me that is not in harmony with you, Lord, show me. You know, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your ways. But not teach me, but show me. He will teach us. He said he'll write, you know, his word on our hearts. But he has to show us. And he shows us through his word, through the life of Christ and the other saints, and through those today that are living on the Bible, from the Bible, by the Bible. And so without compromise, without trying to reshape it based on the culture and the time, you know, trying to make adjustments to the way we live out the word of God because of what society says or does. So I think that as we coming to a close, actually, in the book of Job, we have to sincerely, you know, ponder and picture the process that Job went through, and seek that. And actually, nobody wants to seek a Job, you know, minute, but the end thereof is what we strive for. Remember, we are pressing towards the prize. So that some of the things that we have to press through are trouble. He said, your life be full of hard times and trouble and trials. Okay, but Christ said, but I have overcome, so you will. And this is where his word starts living in us, living out, when it starts to, his word generates a different mindset in us. It generates and activates a different emotion from what we would have had in the past as we grow. Those are signs of maturity in us when we start to properly embrace the word of God. When we properly embrace the way that the word is to be lived out. You can do something right. You can do what the word says. But if you don't do it with a humble, gentle spirit, then there's a problem. Again, those are the things that the Holy Spirit has to give you. We need to know in this day and age, in this time, for sure, that we cannot live without him. And we need to understand his ministry and the power of it in our lives. And the fact that he is God. He is God. And just as God our Father and God our Son, his Son was committed to doing their part for us, getting us back into reconciling us back to God, to our original position and purpose. The Holy Spirit also has a powerful level of commitment. And he says in the Bible says, you know, he is going to keep us until the day of redemption. In other words, we've been entrusted in his hands that will relay heaven's agenda to us through him, so that when it is time for God to call the bride, that we will be prepared. So we want to be a prepared people. You know, we want to be those that have allowed the Holy Spirit and the power thereof to shape, reshape, or transform our thinking. We want to be able to know that even trouble, and we're going to look at that next week, even trouble, even trials, calamities, that captivity, the author calls it, that captivity of our circumstances and situations are necessary. They're necessary. But the thing is, and we may know they're necessary, but we're going to come to learn that our response to them needs to be different, needs to be different. And so I think it becomes even difficult when we respond to our trouble, you know, in a normal way, I'll just say, in a human way. And people will say, you know, you're justified, you got a right to that, da-da-da-da-da. But those things are crippling to us because we've been given a right now because we're born again. And so that person, that set of rules and regulations, I'll just say laws and statutes, they don't really apply to us anymore. Not that you're supposed to break the law. It is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is now, even the Bible says that, you know, noonday can be dark as night, and night can be as bright as noonday. And so God does things in contrast to the world, the way the world does it. So we have to think in contrary to the way the world thinks. So where's the world? Oh, my goodness, you poor thing, da-da-da-da-da. And you go, it's to God be the glory. To God be the glory. There's a joy in knowing you're in his hands. I think one of the comforting ways of, you know, parents tell children when it's thundering and lightning, you know, don't be afraid. You know, that comes from your Father, which is in heaven, and he knows where you are. You know, he cares where you are, and he will have mercy and take care of you. And so we'll think, well, yeah, but suppose I get hit by lightning. Then there is something good in it because God has allowed it. And we really have to emerge our minds in that understanding that. You know, that's that place where the Holy Spirit has to give us a wisdom and counsel and understanding and knowledge so that we can think. We have a mind of Christ. So we can not think like we did think, but rather our perception of life is different. We have a God's eye view now. And from a God's eye view, everything looks different. Definitely, everything looks different. And then everything is based on the eternal. And we have to get to a place where we really, really embrace that so that we will not give our resources or in our, you know, whether it's our time, just all our resources, any of our resources, we're not going to give them to those things that are temporal. You know, I'm not going to get upset about something. It's not eternal. You know, so there's so many ways if you look at it in the view of eternity, it's minute. And that's what he wants us to get. That's what he wants us to understand. But there are some things that we encounter now when you view them in eternity, you see it's a big thing. It's a big deal. And then that's what you give your resources to. That's what you impart into. That's what takes priority for you. And then that's what's going to transform your thinking and your experiencing. Okay. So Joel confesses. Confession is such a blessing. It's being released from captivity, but more than that, it's such a joy to not have that curse over you. And you feel it. You feel it. You know that it's there. And I'm sure at that point, even though Job's situation hadn't changed, I know that Job felt better. I know that Job felt better. So after Job confessed, then the next important step came for God to deal with the friend. And as he did, you know, he also made it clear to Job that Job had to pray for them. And so we get to that really, really hard subject of forgiveness. Okay? Job had to forgive them. And not just forgive them, but he had to pray for them. He had to intercede for them. And he had to do it earnestly. And he had to keep his own right under his own attitude right. And when you keep your attitude right, and that's not getting bitter, not getting judgmental, it opens the door for God to deal with your enemy. But keeping your own attitude right, it opens the door, and God will help you. We are responsible. We have responsibility to our brethren who have injured us. And so here you have another concept kind of turned upside down, contrary. You know, so this is saying we have a responsibility. You know, we always hear about church hurt and this and that and the other. But this is saying church hurt, you have a responsibility yourself to the person that did the church hurt. And so we have to see that this act is more than just our feelings, but it is a will that we have to, as we were sharing before, to have the mind of Christ, because that's what he did. That was one of his seven last things. And when we pray, Lord, show me your ways, we don't want him to show us and we go, oh, I don't like that, or I can't do that. That again is denying God, denying his power, And that is saying that you know better than God, because he said in Christ he can do all things. And so we're saying, well, no, we really can't. Now we're calling God a liar. So these are some of the things that we do on such a regular basis unknowingly that are offensive to God, because they're not based on who he is, but who we think he is according to who we are, because that's what happens. And so with this praying for your enemy, I know when one of the saints heard about it, just didn't believe it was in the Bible. And, you know, because it's such a concept that is so against everything the world teaches. And so to hear it and then not just hear it read or preached, but then have to apply it, have to embrace it and actually do that, that transforms your thinking. That you can't pray for somebody earnestly. You can't pray especially for your enemy earnestly and it not affect your heart. And so it's a thing that offense that church heard was reaching into your life to do something for you, to get you to a better place. And it's not that they should have done it. It wasn't right for them to do it. But that's not what is to be focused on. It's, okay, God, what are you showing me? What is it I need to do? And there's a lot of things that I know the Holy Spirit tell us, and we go, I'm not doing that. You know, nope. You know, which means, you know, don't help me, Lord. Just leave me alone. Leave me in that place. And he's telling us, I love you. I must chasten you. So that sometimes brings us to a place where we are being chastened by the Lord, because we've just flat out refused to do what he has asked us to do. So he made the enemy bring an offering of the bullocks and rams to Job as a burnt offering. And that's interesting, because that would make Job a priest, a type of priest, because they brought offerings, you know, to the priest. And so this is what they were instructed to do, I guess, kind of like when the Catholic people, you know, go to confession. And then I think the father tells him, go do this, and this, and your sins be forgiven, like that. And so, but this is kind of that concept, the original example of that concept, you know. And it wasn't so much because of what they said to Job, but what it says is, you have not spoken of me, the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. So he's saying to them, again, it's against God, not alone, that we sin. Even though they messed up Job and whatever, helped mess up Job, helped keep him down. But God said, but the thing is, you misrepresented me. And that's where the sin lies. And so if we look at it that way, I think maybe we would be more likely to repent, okay, and to accept what we've done with humility. You know, sometimes you go, well, maybe I did do it to them, but they da 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 da. That is not an excuse. That is not a valid action that we should take. Okay, so questions, comments, insights from your reading and studying?
Well, when I was looking at it says about saying it's not fair. I used to say that a lot is not fair, you know. But not thinking in terms of how God was looking at it. You know, I was just looking at world situations, people's situations, and different stuff like that. And I said, well, it's not fair, or it doesn't appear to be fair. Like recently I was saying that, you know, our government, you know, allowing people to come here, they're taking care of them, but they're not even taking care of their own.
Yeah.
You know, people that have worked, paid taxes or what have you, because a lot of them have and just fell on hard times, you know, and they're bringing in people that haven't paid not one tax, nothing, and taking care of them and giving them a place to live and so forth. It's just not fair. But, you know.
I hear you.
Then in reading this, you know, and then looking at it from God's point of view, you know, and saying, well, then he has, I would just say a message and everything he does, we just don't understand it or see it or what have you, but just reading this, you know, just fall back to man, me thinking, you know, my thinking, not necessarily anybody else's, about the fairness of things in life, you know. So that's what I want to say on that part. And then, well, I don't want to get ahead.
Right. No problem.
Let's see. And then where it says praying for offenders bring our own relief. Sometimes I believe we can just get so upset with people and angry with people that, you know, we don't want to pray for them. You know. And we just wallow in anger or disappointment, you know, what have you, until God, you know, shake us and say, what's your problem?
Because
sometimes I just get so upset with my nephews, you know, and say, you know, you haven't had enough, you know, you still don't want to change, you just, you know, want to keep on in your way, you know, and it just.
Yeah.
But I realized that, you know, we have to keep praying for them and that, you know, their eyes were open. And, you know, that the word of God says, you know, some planted, some watered, but he's the one that gives the increase. So, and then I was reminding somebody else of that because they were like getting almost the same type of thinking, you know, and I said, well, you know, we can't think like that, although sometimes we run across our man, you know, but God is the one who gives the increase. We can, I think that the ones that's closest to us, which is are the hardest for us to get through to, you know. But they're watching us still and listening to us, watching every move, listening to every word and everything. You know, they can hear you some things that you forgot you even said yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, I find that it brings a lot of attention to yourself and your way of maybe your past thinking or present thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That God has even brought you through a path, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't want to go over into the other part that I know.
To be here. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll start with you next week.
Okay.
Okay. <All right. laughs> You bring up some very, very powerful points. And it's interesting, you know, the refugees or the, you know, immigrants or whatever, it sits a certain place in, I think, everybody's heart. And it's generally really, really for it or you really, really against. And I have to take that to God because I knew that my anger was not good and it wasn't right. And and just as you say, he then gives you wisdom, gives you counsel, you know, and you got to embrace it. And so even though you would like not to, you know, so, you know, what do? Then you pray for him. You know, and every time it's like this little hint in my mind, you know, it's like, I got to pray for our kids. So, well, fine, then pray for us, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God is a big God. You don't have to pray for one and not the other. Pray for them all.
Right.
He said, pray without ceasing. So what does that do? That enhances my prayer life. You know, so God has a purpose for this thing. Whether it be right or wrong, I'm not to judge of. And I've always felt, no, I always wonder, I didn't feel this way, I always wonder, where did he get this money from? Every time they want money, they go somewhere and print it? You know, or is it sitting somewhere, billions and billions of dollars? You know, and so all of a sudden, y'all got money. So it did, but you know what that lets me know? It lets me know that I don't know nothing. I don't know what they do. I don't know how they're doing, you know, and so I have no idea, and they're not going to tell me because they're not going to want me to know, or you or any of us, but they do what they want to do, and it's like, that's why this world belongs to them, and my world belongs to God, okay, so I know the deal there.
Same thing, you know, I said, who's over the money? You know, I know they make money, but who's the treasurer? Who's over it? Who says how much money to make? Why can't they just tell them to make them some money? Whatever.
Exactly. And then you wonder.
Somebody's over it.
somebody is. Exactly. And, you know, I want to know where the money is. I mean, it's got to be in a bank. No, it don't have to be in the bank. I don't know where it is. And I guess that's the thing is, in this world, there's so much that's going on that we have no idea about. I love disaster movies. And I didn't hear about the comet or the whatever, not a comet, the meteor that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But they got like 100 movies about a meteor hitting Earth. And they have the movies as far back as the 80s, you know, because they'd be old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it was happening then. We didn't know about it. So there's so much that goes on, UFOs and all of these things. Mm-hmm. They happen, and we have been lied to. We really have, and deceived. But the thing that's important is to know that you, and I don't want to say, you can't trust them with your life. I put it that way. Because they're going to do what is going to be helpful for them and whatever agenda they have. And everybody will have a different agenda depending on who gets voted in.
So everybody got a different agenda. But the one agenda that you know will never change, you know, which is what makes the kingdom of God such a powerful place, because it really is a safe place. They're showing these movies, Jazz something or other, and I don't know, Teal and all these movies black people are, you know, whatever. And so, you know, it's even in that, it's like that was then, now is something else. They do gays and whatever, you know. So it just depends on who's in office. You know, not that they've lined up on us, but they do that as well. And I remember once someone sharing the fact that in civilization, just the history of civilization, they said 10 years, I'm not sure, but there is a interval where there would be a war, and it would thin out the race of men. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have a war, that same ratio of men need to be thinned out. And that's what's happening. Very rarely do you hear them shooting a girl. It's not that they don't, but it's rare. But mainly, they're boys, as though the boys went to war and died. Well, they did go to war, but it was in the city streets. And, you know, it's such a thing of Satan. You know, man is the head. You know, and it's such a tactic of the enemy to want to destroy that which God has made in charge. So just understanding, not understanding, but receiving an understanding of some of the things so that we're not deceived is very powerful. We're not captive to lies. And, you know, we're no longer slaves, you know, walking like zombies, doing what they tell us to do, when they tell us to do, and how they tell us to do, thinking the way they want us to think. No,
we're not. I was thinking, you know, there are different ones that they have made restitution to, but they haven't made restitution to the black, you know, for what they've done to them, you know, and you look at everything, you know, like I said, the Indians, and I say, you know, and I look at us, and I hear people talk about that, but at least we're not on a reservation somewhere. You know, when you look at the different things, and you compare different situations, you can see the difference, even though you may have been treated the similar manner, but there are different things that have taken place. And I said, Lord, you know, that's just sad.
Yeah, it is.
Man treat man, you know, it's just, you know, I be sitting up here and I be saying, you know, why did they do that to them, you know? And still holding them hostage. It's just, it's just so many things in life that we'll never really understand, you know. But it's just, I don't know how to say it, you know.
I hear you. hear you. Yep.
You know, and it just goes back to the same thing. Like I said, they bring in those people here and here. Those, the ones they have on reservations, need clean water and need, you know, this, that, and the other. And they're not taken care of now.
No, they're not
doing right. They're not doing right. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to know because we're going to take it before the Lord, and he's going to tell us what we need to know. And I think, too, that these things are done so that, first of all, we understand God is a very merciful God. And one of the things, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's not when you do something good, but when you do something stupid. You know, you still, you know, want people to respond to you, you know, in a positive way. And he said,
right.
To whom, you know, mercy, you know, you become mercy, then you get mercy. You know, so there are so many things in the word that gives us motivation for being doing the things that contradict the natural flow of things till it just becomes a new, that's the new life. You know, that's the new heart. That's the new mind. And that's what he wants us to be anew. He's got a song Sunday that they really love the song. And most of the song is just saying new. It's like, okay. But that's the heartbeat they have. You know, that's the that word and that actually the words of the song are very powerful, but they find these things and they gravitate to them because they're speaking to their spirit, you know. And so we have to become new creatures. In fact, it's interesting, their song choices. Yeah, but you got to come to church to hear them, so I don't want to give away. They are so excited. They have planned everything. You know, Yes, I mean, you know, pray for them so that they'll continue this fire, you know, on Sunday. So
you want to see it on Zoom or YouTube or Facebook?
Okay, now that, you know, I can't promise. I hope so. I do hope so, Mr. Pat. I know. Maybe I could get somebody to do it on a telephone.
With their phone. Yeah.
But anyway, we will really try to work it out.
We just don't keep praying for.
We were trying to do it.
Yeah, we didn't pray on that one. Diana know how to work that thing.
Oh, okay. Is she going to be there?
He says she's going to be there.
She's been there. She was there to work. She was in the back working them since Pastor Bethel been out. Prophetic Pastor Bethel.
Oh, see, that's the other place.
We gonna ask the Lord to send whoever he want to send it. But somebody going to be there.
Absolutely. Because I know Sunday. Yes, and that's the prayer focus for the next 2 days. Apostle tried to do it. In fact, she said she was going to learn to do it, and she wasn't going to worry about it. But that's thing that's in the sanctuary, you know, not the thing that's in the back. You know, it's that, I'm going to tap on it, whatever. Elder Katie does.
Right.
But anyway,
the tablet.
Still that technology. Yep.
Yeah.
But where is like
definitely embrace, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Nice, beautiful, sunny day.
Right.
As far as the kids, on Sunday they said rain. So I'm going to have to look at the news today to see and make a determination. But even so, whatever's going to be outside, going to be inside. We still going to have fire, so don't matter. But it's fireplace. Okay. All right, all right. Okay. Well, thank you,
And bless you, Overseer. Thank you, everyone else on the line.
That's regular service, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
10:30. That's regular service.
Oh, 10:30, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Central Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
They got their little refreshments and there's a lot going on.
All right.
Okay. Everybody have a blessed day.
All right.
You,
you
too.
All as well. Love y'all.
Love you too.
Enjoy
the minute.
Amen.